Good morning, Cornerstone. My name is Jeremy Lind. I'm the pastor here at Cornerstone, and today we'll be reading from the book of Philippians. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. And as you're turning with me there, I have a few announcements for you today. Camp Cornerstone, led by our children's director, Jeff Larson, that's going to be starting soon, so make sure you register today. If you've been looking for a chance to spread the gospel to the people in your life, like, this is your chance. I don't know if you heard that, but this is your chance to spread the gospel. So if you've been praying about that, like, this is your opportunity. So this is a K through 5 camp for kids. They'll do music, they'll do sports, and they'll do crafts, and it's a day camp, and there's something for everybody. And so make sure you invite the people in your life to come and be a part of the body of Christ, and make sure you go online to register today so that we can plan for that. We also have something really excited going on, our baptism, July 24th. If you haven't been to one of our baptisms, I'd really encourage you to attend. It's one of the most special services of the entire year. Both of them are our winter and our summer baptisms. And we have one coming up July 24th at 6 p.m. at Crooked Lake. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you haven't been baptized yet, I'd encourage you to take that bold step of faith and be baptized. There are a lot of commandments of Jesus Christ to follow, which are hard. This one might seem like it's a little difficult, you know, being dunked in the water in front of a lot of people who are watching you. But it's actually one of the easier commands of Christ to follow because you've got an entire church there cheering you on. And if you're a believer who hasn't been baptized, I'd challenge you to step out in faith and grow in what it means to follow Jesus' commandments. And I think if you do this, you'll find yourself more emboldened and powerful through the Holy Spirit to follow more of Jesus' commandments in more difficult situations, like at work or in your family. And so baptism, July 24th, coming up. We also have another chance to reach people for Jesus, a car show on August 18th. If you know somebody with a cool car or you have one, invite them to come be a part of our car show August 18th. Email me to enter. I'll have a promo video from last year for you next week. It was an incredible success. Like, we just kind of threw this idea out there. We had like 40 cars come. We had people who have never been to church before come, and we had a lot more people find out about our church who need a church. So August 18th, another great opportunity to reach people for Christ. And today we'll be talking about the positive power that comes from knowing God. And there's power in just being positive. There's power in just being a positive person. In fact, science has shown that just the mere act of smiling can lead to the release of certain hormones and chemicals in your brain, dopamine and serotonin. Dopamine, higher levels are associated with happiness. Higher levels of serotonin are associated with the relief of stress. And as you smile, a chemical reaction in your brain happens that releases those hormones. And so in other words, you can trick your brain by just smiling to release chemicals, which will then lead to actual, legitimate feelings of happiness in your life. I read an article on this week, and a quote from somebody who does this, named Jamie Pfeffer, a success coach and meditation instructor. She says, "Smiling absolutely changes the way I think and feel. My husband and I purposely spend 60 seconds every morning smiling to supercharge our mood in the mirror. It's a part of our morning routine. And if something goes awry during the day, I usually use smiling to quickly shift my mood. It only takes 10 to 15 seconds for it to make a difference for me now. It helps me to feel less stressed, transform my mood quickly, and put things in a different perspective." And so if you want to be more positive in life, you can trick your brain and deceive yourself into feeling more positive, or you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be positive through the truth of God's power. And here Christianity offers something extremely different than the world. Instead of having power from just being positive, we can find positivity in the power of an almighty God. And so we're talking about positive power, and we're reading through the book of Philippians. And we're talking about how Christianity offers us something different than what the world would encourage us to follow. So we begin reading in Philippians. If you're looking for the book of Philippians in your Bible, it goes, the letters of Paul go, Gentiles eat pork chops, G-E-P-C, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so if Philippians is right after Ephesians, before Colossians. And we read through books of the Bible on Sunday mornings for a reason. Sometimes we do topical series, but a lot of times we read through books of the Bible straight through. And here's the reason why. I want you to be strong in your faith. And this is God's word. And when we can understand this and read it, we grow and strengthen our faith. Now, a lot of times our faith is just overcoming the difficulty that we're facing today. And that's great, right? Like, we're struggling with our parenting, we're struggling in our marriage, whatever it is. And so we go to a devotional book, or we go to a sermon specifically on the topic we're looking for, and that gives us the strength to get through today. And sometimes we need that. But if our faith is only about the strength of getting through the next day, then we'll always feel weak. And so we go through the Bible, reading books of the Bible, so that we learn to hear from God's word, so that we can be strong, so we can hear from God directly in our own lives, at home, when we need to. So reading through this book, and it's a book of Philippians. It's written by the Apostle Paul. We're going to be starting in chapter 1, verse 1. If you're looking for the version that we're reading from on a mobile device, we read from the English Standard Version. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible table. We'd love for you to have those. That's what they're there for. And you can always take one of those as well. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons. And so this book is written by Paul and his sidekick Timothy there. They're servants of Jesus Christ. And this book was written 2,000 years ago. Paul was someone who 2,000 years ago saw Jesus Christ who had risen from the dead, and it changed his whole life. And Paul began spreading the message of Jesus Christ. Now that it had been proved to him that Jesus had really risen from the dead, he went out and started spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and organizing the people who believed into churches. Paul started lots of churches. And 2,000 years ago, we read in the book of Acts, chapter 16, it's kind of cool. It's a story of how Paul started this church, the church in Philippi. And the people in Philippi were called Philippians. And here he's writing a letter back to the church he started. Just like in November, Cornerstone helped plant a church in Moundsview called Pursuit, Paul helped to plant this church in Philippi. And Philippi is a city that no longer exists. It was wrecked by an earthquake in the year 600, and it never fully recovered until it was abandoned in the year 1400. And here are the ruins of Philippi today. And it's super cool, as I'm having my devotions and things like that, to look at pictures like this to remind myself that this is a reality. This really happened. Paul is a real person. He's writing to real people. And you can imagine little buildings, maybe a little church down there, and imagine the people coming and going in their daily lives. So what we're reading is a historical document. It's Paul's letter back to the church he started. And he says in verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace to you. And what I haven't mentioned yet is when Paul writes this letter, he's actually in prison for his faith, for sharing the gospel, for starting churches. They've put him in prison. And Paul sits there in a miserable situation. In fact, his life is in danger. They might sentence him to death. And Paul is sitting there, and he's so positive that he's wishing the free people in the city of Philippi at the Philippian church, he's wishing them grace and peace as he sits there in prison with his life in the balance. How is Paul so positive? And we're going to read through this book of Philippians, and that's why I'm calling a sermon series Positive Power, because Paul is so positive about everything. Paul's positive about everything. As we read this book, we're going to see it. He's positive about the church, even though they have conflict. He's positive about his life, even though it might end. He's positive about the possibility of death. He's positive about the sufferings he's experienced. He's positive about his imprisonment. Now, how can Paul be that positive? Well, we actually find out at the end of the book, we're going to be reading this in a few weeks, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, him being God. That's how Paul can do this. And as you put this verse in context, as we're going to study it, we're going to find that he's not saying, I can do all things. And he's talking about all the suffering, all the difficulty he's experienced. When he says, I can do all things, he's not just saying, like, oh, I can get through this. I can live through this. It's not going to kill me. It'll be like dragging me through the mud, but I can make it because of God. No, he's saying, I can do this. Like, I can do this with positivity, with the joy of the Lord. I can do this through suffering, with joy and grace and peace, because of the strength of God. And God is Paul's power for his positivity. We're going to read through the book, and we're going to see all the things that Paul's positive about. He doesn't, as we're going to read through, we're going to just list them all. Because of the power of God, I can be positive about this. Because of the power of God, I can be positive about that, as we look at what Paul's positive about. And Paul, as he's positive about all these things, he doesn't write that. He doesn't say, because of God's power, I'm positive in this way and that way. But as you read the letter, it becomes clear that this is where Paul's strength comes from and where his positivity comes from. It's from the God who strengthens him. And if we try to be positive on our own, if we just smile into a mirror, we're kind of like a fan that's unplugged. Those blades can spin for a little bit, but it won't be long before they stop. And if there's one thing that God has been really impressing upon me the last few years, is a positivity that needs to come from His power. When I have my eyes on the Lord, and when I have my eyes on Jesus Christ, I have positivity in my life. And as soon as I look away, those fan blades stop spinning. And I need God for my power. I need God for my power to be positive. And I've been planning this sermon series. I usually am planned out in general about a year in advance, with a lot more specifics in the months leading up to what we'll be preaching on and teaching about. And so I've had this sermon series planned for almost a year, and really diving into the specifics the last month, talking about how we can be positive in all situations through the incredible power of God. And as I'm going to prepare this message, that truth that I'm trying to apply to my life from the Bible, and that truth that I'm trying to bring to you this morning, my faith is just incredibly challenged. Because in this week, one of the worst things that could happen to anybody happened to a family in our congregation. Jeremy and Beth Dorsing lost their son Andrew, who's 6 years old. They didn't lose him, Andrew died. Andrew had a heart condition, and he was in the hospital. They were monitoring him, and he was playing Xbox, and his heart gave out. And I talked with Jeremy and Beth, and they wanted me to invite you to a celebration of life this Saturday. And if you knew the Dorsings, or know the Dorsings, or knew Andrew, they wanted me to invite you to come on out and celebrate his life with them. And how can we be positive in a world where the worst possible thing could happen to us at any moment? That's not a peaceful environment. That's not a positive environment. And how can we have positivity in this world? What does Christianity have to offer us which would lead us to be positive? A few days before Andrew got sick and went in the hospital to begin with, we were having our devotions. We call them family Bible time. And I was reading the Bible with my 5-year-old son and my 4-year-old daughter. We were reading through the toddler Bible. And we got to this passage right here. And it says, Elisha helps a little boy. I'll just read it to you because it's very short. I'm reading this to Isaiah and Grace. It says, another woman also begged Elisha for help. Her little boy had died, and Elisha went to her house. And he went to the room where the little boy's body lay and prayed over him. The little boy sneezed and opened his eyes. He had come back to life, and he was just fine. And we have devotions all the time, almost every night, and we read miracle story after miracle story in the Bible of the incredible power of God. And I read this story, and I thought, I want to set correct expectations for my children. I want them to know that this isn't a normal, this is a miracle. And so I sat down and I said, you know, Isaiah and Gracie, this is a very special and unique thing that God has done. In this miracle, we see the power of God. He is able to save anybody. He is able to heal anybody from anything. That is God's power. And that's what we see in this story. And so here we see God's will. It's not God's will that anyone be sick. It's not God's will for anyone to suffer. It's not God's will for anyone to die. And so here we see God's will. God has both the will to save us and the power to save us. I said, but this is a special instance. This is a miracle. That's why we wrote it down. This doesn't happen every day. This is a special thing that God has done. Some children receive miracles, but many children do not receive miracles. And Gracie, my 4-year-old daughter, looks at me. And she says, why doesn't God heal? Why doesn't God heal all the children? And what do I tell her? What does the world have to offer? What does science have to offer? They would tell Gracie, here's what you do. You grow up. And I want you every morning before work, take 60 seconds
and smile in the mirror. Is that the best we've got? And so because of Jesus Christ, we have a reason to be positive. We have one reason to be positive in this world, in a world where the worst thing could happen to us at any moment. We have one reason to be positive, and it is God's power. That's the reason that we have. Without that, there is no reason. That's the one I cling to. That's the one I have my hope and faith in. And I'm positive tomorrow, not because I'm going to receive everything that I want today, but I'm positive tomorrow because if I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I cannot lose. And that's why Paul is so positive. He's going to be, his life is in danger, and he's going to say in a moment, he's going to say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I live, I get to follow Jesus Christ and be with you all, and that's fantastic. But if I die, I get to go and be with the Lord, and that's great too. I can't decide which is better. That's Paul's attitude because of God's power. And in this world, I'm positive, even though the worst thing could happen at any moment. I'm positive if I'm sick, God will heal me. If I'm in trouble, he'll help me. If I need provision, he'll provide for me. And on the day where he doesn't, and on the day where he doesn't and I die, he will raise me from the dead. And there's no way I come out of this a loser. Every situation, I win because of God's power. That is his promise. He's coming back for us. Sometimes we feel abandoned by God, but God hasn't abandoned us. He's done exactly the opposite. He has come to us in Jesus Christ. We don't have to wonder or think if. We know when. 2,000 years ago. And we know how. He came to us through Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the grave to show us his power and so that we could have peace. And this world has unimaginable evil, unconscionable evil. Because of God's unbelievable power, we can be positive in any situation. As I go to answer the most difficult question that any adult could ask, let alone any child, I said, Gracie, we worship Jesus Christ not because he promised to heal everybody right now. We worship Jesus Christ because we know that he has the power to keep what he has promised. And that's that one day he will fix everything. We know that God isn't responsible for evil, Grace, but one day he does promise to fix everything. And that's why we worship Jesus. And whatever situation you're going through, whatever desperate scenario, whatever depression you've got, whatever difficulty you face in your life or your family, there is a reason to be positive. And it's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And Paul continues on. Well, the peace that Jesus brings us, the peace that God brings us, Paul actually describes it, the peace that he's wishing to the church in Philippians. He's in prison, and he's so positive, he's wishing the people out of prison grace and peace. And this type of peace of God, it's supernatural, it's beyond reason, it's beyond understanding. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, which we're going to read in a few weeks as well, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And from the outside looking in, from an unbeliever looking in, the type of peace that God brings does not make any sense at all. Say, why do you have peace? You're going through the worst thing imaginable. You're going through something different, difficult. But the peace of God surpasses all understanding, and this is what is available to us in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't experienced it or you're not experiencing it in moments of doubt, it's hard to understand. But when we come to the Lord in relationship with him, filled with his Holy Spirit, connecting with God, we have peace and can have peace no matter what difficulty we're going through. And the first thing that Paul is positive about as we read through this letter, he's positive about the people around him. He says, I think God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Because of God's power, we can be positive about the people around us. And are you positive about the people around you? And Satan has this incredible trick that he does. He separates us from the people around us, the people who could love us, the people who we could love, by getting us to focus on the negatives about the people around us. And if you're around any people long enough, you will find out their faults, their mistakes. They will fail you. They'll offend you. They'll sin against you. And Satan, to separate us from them, has this trick where he gets us to focus on those things. And if we focus on those things, pretty soon we won't be thankful for the people around us. We'll feel that the problem in our life is the people around us. And that is why so many marriages fail. That is why so many people have to switch jobs every 3 to 5 years, or neighborhoods every 3 to 5 years, or hop from church to church to church to church. Because the longer we're around people, and the more we listen to Satan, the more we feel that the people around us are the problem. And when asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus says, love the Lord your God. And the second thing he said is, love your neighbor as yourself. And he also told us to love even our enemies. And he said to his followers, they'll know you by your love. And when we know the power of God, we will love people more. They'll sin against us. It'll still be the same people offending us, failing us on occasion. But when we know the power of God, we'll be focusing on the positive. We'll show grace. And the interesting thing about the Bible is that it projects judgment as sort of a courtroom scenario where God is the judge. We're on trial. Jesus is our defense lawyer, and Satan's the accuser. And so what does Satan do? He brings all of our sin towards God and says, condemn, condemn, condemn. And Jesus paid for our sins and has removed all that. And so our defense attorney just brings all the positive to God. And says, save, save, save. And when we listen to Satan, we just condemn the people around us and we feel that they're the problem. And when we listen to God, we show grace to the people around us because we need that same grace as well. And who are you listening to? Are you listening to Satan and thinking the people around you are the problem in your life? Or are you listening to God and are you thankful for the people around you in your life? Are the people around you the problem? Or are the people around you a blessing? And Paul here, he's writing to the Philippian church. And he's thankful about the church. And I can't tell you how, as I go along in life, and I see the direction of the world, I see the direction of some of my family members or friends who are not connected with the church, the longer I pastor, the more thankful I am for, and the more I believe in the church. I love you guys, and I love you in my life. I love that my kids think every person with black hair and black rimmed glasses is Quentin Mendenhall. We could be in St. Louis, and the person could be like 6'5 and 60 years old, but black hair, black glasses, they say, there's Quentin. This last winter, I had Nathan Clanton and Danielle Clanton. Danielle made a soup. We were all sick with the flu, and Nathan brought it over in a literal blizzard. And in this blizzard, he brings over the soup and he gives it to us and we accept it. And then, you know, of course, you have to give a long Minnesota goodbye. And so we're all standing there with the flu. He's probably holding his breath, trying not to touch anything. And that's our church. That's the kind of love that we have for each other. Vesta and Heather have organized meals for our church for people who are going through difficult situations for so long. And so often we have a family going through a difficult time and I call up Vesta or Heather and I'll say, have you heard about this? And they say, I've already got it covered. Because our church is so close that we already know what's going on in each other's lives. And if you're newer here to our church, I want to encourage you to get involved. The longer I become a pastor, the more I believe in the church more than ever. Because it's the people who stand back. It's the people who never open up their hearts to connect. It's the people who never open up their lives to be vulnerable, to serve and sacrifice and connect. Those are the people that do not grow spiritually towards Jesus Christ. It's the people who, when they come to church and they're negative about the people around them and pretty soon they leave because they're just negative about this and that and the other thing, those are the people that are not growing towards Jesus Christ. But it's the people who are willing to stay, the people who are willing to commit and invest, those are the people who are growing towards Jesus. And seeing how the church has worked has given me more faith in the church than ever, and seeing how the church has responded in this situation with the Dorsing family has just been fantastic. I'm thankful that I have people in my life who've got my back. If there's a problem, I'm also thankful that in life I've got people who will encourage me in my faith and my family in my faith. I thank God for Jeff Larson, who does an incredible job of teaching my kids about the gospel of Jesus.
And are you positive about the people around you, in your life, in your job, in your families, in your church? Are you listening to Satan and thinking they're the problem, or are you listening to God and growing and showing grace and forgiveness and growing in love? Because of God's power, we can be positive about the people around us. And Paul continues on. He says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul preached the gospel and the Philippian people came to faith in Jesus, God began a good work in them. And Paul says, I am confident that the God who began that work and began transforming and changing your heart, I'm confident he's going to bring that to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God has got a plan for us in our lives and our character and our being. And it started on the day that we put our faith and trust in Jesus, and it'll end on the day that Jesus Christ returns. And if you are feeling God calling you to believe in Jesus Christ, or calling you to follow him more closely, feel him calling you to challenge you to get more involved in your faith, in reading the Bible, in church, all of these things, God has a plan that he is doing in you right now. And if we keep our faith in that, God will not fail us. He will make sure to complete what he has started. I have a friend from Sartell who's a youth pastor who moved down here to Fridley and started his own like exercise class thing deal. And Sarah and I went through it and we took it. And my friend said that when you do something like this, when you start exercising, you go on a diet and you begin losing weight, everyone expects it to be very linear. Like I exercise today and tomorrow and I do the diet today and tomorrow. And starting now into the future, inevitably I will just lose weight at a consistent rate. He said, that's not the way it is at all, actually. Inexplicably, our weight loss looks more like this. Like, we do the diet, we do the exercise, we do the same thing day after day after day, and sometimes we are all the way back up to where we started, or maybe even a little bit above, and then we go down again, and then we lose it all inexplicably, back and forth, up and down. But he says, over time, if you don't give up on that thing that you've started, and you follow the diet and do the second, you will lose weight over time. I thought that is 100% the way what God is doing in us spiritually works as well. We think that we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and tomorrow I'm going to feel better. And the day after that, I'm going to feel better than that day. And the day after that, I'm going to feel better than that day. And I'm going to become a better father day after day after day. I'm going to become a better coworker and employee day after day. I'm going to become more joyful at a linear rate day after day. And that is not what it's like at all. Our faith journey is the same thing. We start on down this road, and sometimes we feel back to where we started, or maybe even worse. But Paul says, I know that God is strong enough to complete in you what he started. And if we don't lose faith in that, we'll see that as well. And over a period of time, as we follow the Lord, as we submit ourselves to him, we will see God doing something in our life. And we can be positive about the trials and the difficulties in our life that seem to bring us all the way back to the start, because God is actually doing something in us. And as we experience a new challenge which shakes us and shakes our faith, and that doubt arises, and we don't give up on God, but we press into that and press through that, God is doing something. We come out stronger than ever before, with more faith than ever before, willing to be able to withstand and able to withstand much more than we ever were able to before. And what trial are you going through? What challenge are you going through? I'm sure it feels terrible, but there is something positive in you that God is working, that he's got a plan to bring out of it. And what is that? You might not be able to see it right now. But if you don't give up, if you continue on, you will be able to see God strengthen you and doing something in you over time. And Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Jesus Christ is going to return. All of his people will be reunited with him. And because that is where we're going, Paul says, I don't get discouraged. I'm not perfect. We'll never be in this life until Jesus returns. But if we continue pressing on, like Paul says, we'll find God doing something in our life. Now, so often we say things like, you know, it's not what has been, it's not what we do, it's what's been done for us. As evangelicals, we love to stress that God has saved us and we cannot earn our salvation, which is totally correct. However, I think we get totally lazy because of that. And when you read Paul's writing, Paul uses many active words to describe his faith. I press on to make it my own. Jesus Christ died for us. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. In fact, this week I'm going to do a devotion with my kids. There's a great devotion for parents online called It Starts at the Home. And I'm going to stand at the top of the steps and you tell your kids, come up to me. But you can't use the stairs or the rails. And you say, how can you get to me? I have no idea how I can get to you. And then eventually, as they brainstorm, hopefully they come with the correct answer, well, you can come down to me. That's a perfect expression of our faith. It's true. Like, we can get, if God is at the top of the stairs, and we're down there, and we need to get to God, and we can't do it ourselves, well, God can come to us. It's a great way to teach our children the gospel of Jesus. It's a great way and illustration for us. We can't earn our salvation, but God can come down to us and has in Jesus Christ. But that shouldn't be an excuse to be lazy. Give your faith some effort. Like if you sit there in church year after year because you're not growing, it's probably because you're not doing anything. And press on. Have some urgency. Make it your own. There's blessings out there awaiting you. And don't give up on that. What God has started, he's got a plan for you. And if you press on, you'll see yourself growing in Jesus. And because of God's power, we can be positive about what God is doing in us. Because of God's power, we can be positive about what God is doing within us. In verse 7, it says, Paul says, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affliction of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And here we see Paul just continuing to be positive about the people around him. He says, I yearn for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. The same affection that God has for you, I have for you. You see God, because of God's power, being positive about the people around him. And then we see Paul being positive about what God is doing in them. It's his prayer that they grow in what? Love. And love, not just misguided goodwill. Misguided goodwill just enables our sinful desires. But goodwill, affection, combined with God's knowledge and discernment is what love is and guides us to God. And so that's Paul's prayer. My prayer is that you love each other and it's guided by God's knowledge and discernment so that you may approve what is excellent. Again, they're journeying down this path of what God is doing within them. I pray that you grow more and more to approve what is excellent. And what are you approving right now in your life, which is evil? God's got something that he wants to do in you. He wants to free you from that. He wants to bring you from here to there. He wants you to begin approving what is excellent, rejecting what is evil. That's Paul's prayer for them. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Are you positive about the people around you? Are you positive about what God is doing in you? We have reason to be positive in any situation because of the power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we go through this life and we experience trials and setbacks and things which are beyond our understanding, unimaginable evil, God, as we go through a world where the worst possible thing could happen to us at any time, Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, give us strength. I pray that we would be lifted through these situations to be closer to you, filled with more faith and less doubt, filled with more confidence and less anxiety, filled with more love, and leaving anger and hate behind. God, I pray that you would bless us as we face these trials and temptations, that we would put our faith and trust in you, and that we would not doubt that you will bring us what you're doing in us to completion, but we'd never give up hope or faith, but press on to make these things our own through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the people in this room who are going through all sorts of things in their lives, God. I pray you'd bless them with your spirit to be positive in them, like Paul is positive, God. I pray that they would see your power and your glory and have a reason to praise you, even in the darkest circumstances. And God, we lift up Jeremy and Beth Dorsey and their sons, Jesse and Nathan. God, we pray that you would be with them, bless them as they just walk through this incredible, difficult time. God, I pray that you would give them peace, which passes understanding. God, I pray that you would bring them through this with more faith, and more confidence and love. In Jesus' name we pray, and we pray that you bless the offering, which we're about to receive as well. It will go to spread your gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. This time our ushers are going to come forward. They're going to collect our offering. If you're a guest here, we ask that you put your connection card in the basket. What we'd like more than your gift of money is to know that you're here today and begin putting you on our email list to let you know about all the great things that God is doing through our church and all the ways that you can connect at Cornerstone with God and with others. And after the baskets pass, please stand and join us in worship.